Good evening. Grace and peace be unto you, Father of God, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will please open your Bible, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 14. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. Page 1146 in your Pew Bible. Thus says the word of the living God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He proposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, the praise of His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee again, O Lord, to praise Thee for the chance to hear Thy word. O Lord, speak to us, speak to our heart, and tell us what we need to hear from Thee and what we are not expecting to hear, O Lord, because we are not here to hear only what we want or what our hearts desire. Lord, be with us. Take the blindness away so we can see as You see, O Lord, not as men see. Lord, be with us and bless us. And give us a very fortunate time as we worship Thee through the listening of Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 1 and 2, Paul speaks of himself as an apostle, someone who speaks of Christ according to God's will. He addresses his brethren in Ephesus as saints and wishes upon them grace and peace from our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also speaks of God as his Father and of Christ as his Lord in his salutation to the Ephesians. By doing that, Paul shows his apostolic credentials to speak on important subject matter, the Trinitarian work of redemption. And I have to tell you that when I was a child, I learned this in Sunday school. I learned how to summarize the gospel in three important phrases. One is chosen by the Lord, redeemed by the work of Christ, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. One is most certainly chosen by God, redeemed by the works of Jesus Christ, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul proposes to us when he divides this passage, this portion of his letter to the Ephesians, in three main sections. Saved by God, or chosen by God, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Chosen by the Father, from verse 3 through 6. In verse 3, Paul used the Old Testament blessing, Baruch Adonai Elohei Israel. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. As mentioned in Psalm 72, verse 18, for He is the God and Father of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And also for blessing us with the spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in heavenly places. I beg your pardon. What does Paul mean by spiritual blessing and have in heavenly places? One, by spiritual blessing, Paul means the benefits of the saints conquered through Christ's victory over death. As a result, Paul decides to bless the Father, for He is the one who blessed us with the spiritual blessing. And heavenly places means that Christ was raised from the dead and sealed and seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. Likewise, Jesus Christ, we have also been raised up from the dead to live in the heavenly places. In this verse, Paul also anticipates historical events of Christ's life, resurrection from the dead, and enthronement in order to explain what will happen to believers. Paul states in verse 4, that God chose us before the foundation of the world to have a relationship with Himself. But such a relationship could only be possible because God Himself, God first, chose us. And the result of such a blessed choice should cause us to be holy and blameless. In verse 5, Paul used the Greek word prurizo, which means decided beforehand, to explain predestination. As the teaching that God has for all eternity freely determined whatsoever shall come to pass. Some people argue that the Greek word ginosko, which means to know, indicates that God makes His choices because He knew beforehand who would accept Jesus. But such a concept is just wrong because God does not base His choice upon what He knew, but rather based upon His own will. However, predestination is not only a matter of God's decision, but also an act of His love, as it is said in verse 4c and 5a. In love, He predestined us for adoption. In Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 16, Paul refers to us as the adopted ones. And he called us children of light. And he says, we must walk as children of light. In verse 6, God's grace should cause listeners back then and nowadays to praise the Lord for His work of salvation. What are the practical implications for this main section? Well, there are many, and I will point them out for you. God chose for Himself beforehand, those who whatsoever wanted to be, he wanted to save through his work of salvation. And that was only God's choice. It was only up to him to save us. Nobody went after God and asked him to save us. God's choice is not based upon what he knew, but on his own will, because he wanted so, because he said so. Therefore, we are saved. God's choice should make us happy, for we have received such a glorious privilege. I'm pretty sure you have known. You have seen people out there who never had the chance to meet the Lord, to have the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. I'm pretty sure you have known people all your life that never came to be called children of light, never walked with the Lord, therefore are not his children. And this should make us happy, because it is such a privilege. Sometimes we behave as if we had something to do with that. But we had not. God's salvation should humble us, because we do not deserve such a privilege. We deserved eternal condemnation. The second main section of this passage says, redeemed by the works of Christ, from verse 7 through 10. Verse 7 and 8. It is said that the works of Christ redeem us through his blood. Thus, it is self-explanatory that only through Jesus Christ's blood, we obtain forgiveness of our trespasses, salvation from our sinful nature. Christ has delivered us from spiritual slavery by paying a high price. Christ's price should be paid with his own life, as there is no perfect substitute sacrifice. In verse 9, with regard to the mystery of his will, Matthew Henry says, blessings were made known to believers by the Lord showing to them the mystery of his sovereign will, the method of redemption, salvation. But these must have been forever hidden from us if God had not made them known by his written word. Preach the gospel in the spirit of truth. Christ united the two differing parties, God and man, in his own person, and satisfied for his wrong which caused the separation, says Matthew Henry. In verse 10, Paul makes an important remark. He says, as a plan for the fulfillment of time. And by that statement, Paul is not addressing future events, but what has already been accomplished. And what has already been accomplished? In accordance to Paul, redemption and adoption to Christ's death and resurrection. As a result of such an amazing accomplishment, Paul sees the Lord Jesus Christ as the rule of all things. Remember what Psalm 2 says. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Everything belongs to him. In verse 10, Paul also address the unity of all things in him. What does Paul mean by that? He meant to say the Jews and Gentiles are united in the church. And now those uncircumcised that were separated from Christ and alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant, were without hope in God, are now brought together to become through the blood of Christ, to become only one church. Such a visible union of the church, Jews and Gentiles, proves that Christ is the ruler of the whole universe. What conclusion should we draw from this main section? The second main section. We are redeemed by Christ's blood only, not by sacrifice. Only through Jesus Christ's blood we obtain forgiveness of our trespasses and salvation from our sinful nature. Christ has delivered us from spiritual slavery by paying a high price. Remember when Paul addressed his fellow brothers in Ephesus. He said that he was a servant of the Lord. He used an euphemism. The Greek word used by Paul is doulos, which means slave. I'd rather be a slave to Christ than to any man or sin. And we all were slaves of sin until we were brought out of the mark of slavery, spiritual mark of slavery by Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler of all things, the universe, of my life, of your life. Christ's price should be paid with his own life, as there is no perfect substitute sacrifice. Remember, the sheep shouldn't be blemished. It should be pure and somewhat perfect. But there is no perfect substitute to Christ's sacrifice for what he has done for us. Nobody can replace such a sacrifice. Nobody. And third and final section, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 through 14. In verse 11, Paul addressed Jews and Gentiles as fellow heirs in Christ. In him we have obtained inheritance, an inheritance having been predestined. He anticipates what is going to be said in chapter 3 about the union of the Jews and the Gentiles in the church. In verse 11, Paul adduced the Greek word, purizo, decided beforehand, using verse 5, in order to support his argument that Jews and Gentiles alike were predestined according to God's will. I'm talking about those who came to know the Lord, not all of the Jews. We do not hold to the dispensational idea that all Jews will be saved no matter what. We believe that those Jews that came to know the Lord will certainly be saved. As it is promised, as Paul addressed such an important matter in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. The Gentiles also received the promises made to Israel. They received the Holy Spirit and became part of God's church in order to glorify the Father. In verse 12, Paul refers to himself as a Jew among those Jews of his days who first put their hope in Christ. And he said, "We who were the first to put hope in Christ," says Paul. This statement shows that Paul praises the believing Jews in verse 12 for being the first to believe in Christ as the glorified God, as the one who was pointing towards his Father's glory. Heard the word of truth, the gospel of his salvation, and believe in him. That's how Paul is addressing the Jews. Verse 13a. And as a result of being chosen by the Father, believed and redeemed by the Son, they were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In verse 13b, Paul shows the promised Holy Spirit as a mark of God's ownership to his people. In verse 14, Paul says the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that God has chosen us, Gentiles and Jews, out of bondage to become His possession. And He will grant us final inheritance in the glory to come. Jews and Gentiles alike are alike predestined according to God's will. We're not better than they are. They're not better than we are. We're just sinners that came to know the Lord by His grace. We are chosen by the Father and redeemed by the Son, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We are God's possession. We belong to Him. God chose for Himself beforehand those whoever He wanted to save. And it was an exclusive work, and such a work is only based upon His own will. God's salvation should humble us because we don't deserve such a privilege. We deserve eternal condemnation, as I said. Only through Jesus Christ's blood we obtain forgiveness of our trespasses and salvation from our sinful nature. We are chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy choice, Lord, which was based upon Thy will. We know, Lord, that Thy will be done, O Lord, not the way we want. And it has been done according to Thy will. O Lord, we praise Thee for Thy choice. We praise Thee for the opportunity of being called children of light, to be Thy children, Lord, to be part of Thy visible church, to be part, O Lord, of a church that love each other, even when we don't, to be part of a church that's not perfect, but is Thy church, to be part of a church that had a man sent by Thee, Thy beloved, Thy begotten Son, to take our place on the cross and to die for us. We love Thee for that, Lord, because Thy is the kingdom, and we are Thy servants. We love Thee. We want to praise Thee with our lives. Yet we have sinned against Thee as we saw this morning. And we also have been rescued and redeemed in Thy Son, by Thy Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And nobody can take that away from Thee. Nobody. How great Thou art, O Lord. You are the true God of Israel, and our God, our Lord. And we bless Thee, O Lord, for what You have done for us. Salvation has been accomplished with the work of Thy Son, Thy begotten Son. We praise Thee for that, Lord. We praise Thee by the seal of the Holy Spirit, which guarantees that we will never be taken out of Your hands. O Lord, bless us and be with us. And give us a very blessed week as we go out there, Lord, to work, to study, to go back to be housewives and for those who are out there, Lord, looking for a job, be with them and bless them as they face new challenges, O Lord. Bless us as we go out there, as we head back home, as we try to embrace our challenge as Christians in a society that doesn't care about Thee. O Lord, bless us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.